Well, I got to the end of the road, burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Catherine McGee's Hot Mess. I think that this is going to actually come out on Monday like it's supposed to. Last week we had a technical, well, I was late today, plus we had some sort of WordPress issue. So, but here we are, we're back and a new episode. This has been a weird and fun week, but also like horrifying in the news. Like Nazis are back. I don't understand what's happening with this world anymore. I don't understand why people think it's okay to do what they're doing. And I don't know what to do. So I guess I could just keep doing what I'm doing and hope that it helps people. But I don't know. It's a really fucked up world. I still can't believe Donald Trump is president. Like, that still blows my mind. But he is. And it's inciting race wars. So that's great. Good for you, America. Let's terrify the rest of the world. It's a little crazy time right now. As far as non-crazy things, it was a fun week up here in Vancouver. It was so smoky from the wildfires up north, and I didn't want to complain because I didn't lose my house in a wildfire or my job or anything, but oh my God, was I ever, like, I had a migraine for a week straight. It was just, and I don't get migraines. It was just awful. I don't know how you people in LA do it. Because honestly, I remember when Ron Lynch was up here and he was like, it's amazing. I can actually breathe and it's beautiful. And I think, like, if you live in a clean air city, we take it for granted. Because I even asked Adam, he lived in China for about a year, I think. And he said it was like this every day, but worse. And you couldn't see in front of you. And so I guess I'm really lucky to be living in a city that isn't covered in smog. But yeah, that smoke was pretty brutal. And tonight, Sunday night, right after this, I'm going to go do a fundraiser at Yuck Yucks. And then right after that, oh my God. So this is coming out on Monday. So you can come if you live in Vancouver. So Steve Allen owns this place called Kino. It's amazing. It's been doing comedy for 10 years. Steve bought it because it was going out of business and he didn't want it to close and have comics lose a place to do comedy. So Steve is amazing. I'm going to have him on this podcast, but he and Simon King and Laura, and I don't want to mispronounce your last name, Laura, so I'm just saying Laura, they're putting on a 28-hour comedy show, and I'm involved. I think most of the Vancouver comedy community is involved. It's going to start on Monday at 8, I believe, at 8 at Kino, and it's going to go until Tuesday night at around midnight. 28 hours. I'm so excited to be involved in it. If you are in Vancouver, come to the Kino at any point. I think I have a 2:30 in the afternoon set on the Tuesday. So I'm going to do dirty jokes at 2:30 in the afternoon. And hopefully children are walking by and can hear it. So yeah, come to the Kino if you're in Vancouver, Monday and Tuesday, right today and tomorrow. 28-hour comedy show. All the money is going to go to the Red Cross, which will benefit anyone that was affected by the BC wildfires, which has been huge. They've been burning pretty much all summer. It's been the worst in 60 years, I think. So that's pretty crazy. So yeah, come to Kino. It's going to be amazing. We had a comedy barbecue put on by Carl Sullivan. He's Irish and he's getting deported. So he's being put on a barbecue. Guess what? He had potatoes. Like, so cliche. And I was like, aha. And he's like, no, it's serious. Irish people love potatoes. I'm like, that's amazing. So we had a fun little picnic. Eugene was there. He was a little bit of a dick. And he was a good boy. That's just Eugene, good and bad. But it was really cool to have a barbecue with. And a lot of new comics were there that I don't really know. And I'm not really good at introducing myself. So hopefully they don't think I'm a total bitch because I kind of just keep to myself. I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird. This podcast, though, I hope that new comics listen to it because so your guest this week, I've known him for a long time since I was living in Toronto, but I never really got to know him that well. And he's part of the Pew Crew. that's right. I'm labeling it Rob Pugh and Friends. Who Rob also has to be on this podcast. We've tried, but it's never worked out. But it will happen. But anyway, so Rob Bebenik, Bebenik. I don't know. Which way do you like it, Rob? Bebenik, probably. Old Bebsy came to Vancouver. He was out here to do a wedding, and he picked up some shows. But he came out. We had, sat on my deck, and we talked. And the conversation was awesome. He has the best answer I've ever heard for what it's like to be a white male comic right now. So that is a big thing. And we talk a lot about, I mean, I think there's a lot of good advice in this podcast on what to do if you want to be a pro comic, on the steps that you should take. I think we did this a couple, like a week and a half ago, so maybe not, but I'm pretty sure that's what it's about in here. So yeah, if you're a new comic, this is a really good episode to listen to. Tell your new comic friends. Comedy advice is always free. You just got to hang out. You got to talk to headliners. And guess what? It's free. You might buy us a drink. Maybe not. You don't even, I wouldn't expect a new comic to buy me a drink. Because if I'm broke, they're fucking broke. So just come up and talk to us. We are usually friendly people. I'm still in Top Comic. This is the last week you can vote. You can vote up until Friday, August 18th at midnight. At topcomic.siriusxm.ca. You can vote on all your devices. Vote every day. If I get through, I will go to Toronto and compete in the finals at Just for Last 42 on September 28th at the Queen Elizabeth Theater in Toronto. And if I win, I get $25,000 and some Just for Last spots. And if I even play second or third, I still get Just for Last spots. So please, please, please vote for me. I really want to go to Toronto. I really want to get in the finals and see what I can do. So it would mean a lot to me if you would vote for me. Thank you for everyone that has been voting. And I'm sorry, I've been so annoying. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Kathleen_McGee. Like, subscribe to this podcast. Give us a great review. Tell your friends about it. I have some things in the works that are, I guess, comedy related. Perhaps another podcast. Still keeping this one, but I have an idea for a new one. And another project that I was just like, because of all the Kesha, Taylor Swift, and the sexual assault stuff, and I just got enraged, and I have a new project in the works, so it's coming up. Thank you for always listening. I'm trying to quick be finished because I think my battery might die, so I don't want to lose this. You guys are amazing. Thank you for always listening. I hope that you have an amazing week, and we'll see you and talk to you again next week. But for now, here is me and Rob Bebenik chit-chatting about comedy. He's a fucking homeowner.
Shutting down, good lord. Baby got him open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much
start
ground.
Start talking when it sounds like it'll be an interesting conversation. Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of black flies out here.
Yeah,
in Vancouver.
Well, that's oh dear.
You almost lost. Oh, you
good
did.
Start. Okay. Good start.
Sunglasses gone.
Okay. Yeah, it's, well, and bugs are never a problem out here.
No.
What?
No. In Vancouver?
Well, no, they weren't when I lived here anyway.
Well, they're, like, when I moved out here, everyone's like, there's no mosquitoes ever. And then I'm more East fan. I'm like, yeah, there's mosquitoes out here. But, like, West fan, because, like, it's by the ocean.
Yeah.
They don't breed out there, but.
Yeah, but if I got a mosquito bite out here, it was weird.
Yeah. Not as many as Alberta or interior
and
anywhere.
And they don't have thunder and lightning here.
In Vancouver?
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that? When's the last time you saw a thunderstorm here? Never.
Oh, yeah. But Tofino, you can go and pay lots of money to go watch storms.
Yeah. I think somebody much smarter than me explained it to me once, like because of the ocean and the mountain something or other that doesn't work. That's pretty much.
I love it.
That's what I pulled out of it.
When smart people explain something to me, I'm like, and I don't retain any of it. No. It just goes right through my head.
I picked up a couple of the keywords, like that is
mountain, ocean. That's why.
Yeah, mountain, ocean makes it bad.
Yeah, that's true. And that's sad because I love thunderstorms. Like I grew up in Edmonton. I remember like sitting on our front porch with blankets and watching thunderstorms.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
that
like
was
the best
thing.
Time ever.
I remembered when I moved back to Ontario from living here, and I stayed at my parents' place for a couple of weeks before I went to school, and we had a thunderstorm, and I was like, oh my god, it's so pretty.
It's
my
so
parents
pretty.
Were like, it's fucking raining, who cares?
Everybody here wants it to rain in Vancouver. It hasn't rained all summer, really.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's been really, it's been a weird summer. I don't know if it has it been weird in Toronto.
Yeah, it's been super weird in Toronto. We're all going to die soon.
I think we are going to die. I think this is the beginning of the end, but not for us, just for our children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the kids, they'll boil from inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, I won't be around, so.
Ungrateful brats, they deserve it anyway. Yeah.
That brings up the argument of to have kids or not, because, like, we're almost certainly birthing children to their doom.
Well, I mean, people are doing that now in America. Look at where America is right now.
Sure, yeah.
The way it's going. And then I heard things like people are applying on behalf of The Rock to put him in the Democratic Party so he can run for president. I'm like, it's just become a circus down there. It's just become, like, absolutely not even real.
Yeah, it's like every day you see something more and more ridiculous down there, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want, I guess.
Do you want to have kids? How old are you?
34.
Okay.
I think so.
That doesn't matter for guys. You can be 80 and have a kid.
I don't plan to have one until I'm 80. But,
I only want to be alive for 4 years of its life.
Yeah, I want to, but I'm also like, what world am I giving to this thing?
Yeah.
And then there lies the argument, is it, you know, okay, so I brought them in at least, right? Like, at least they had some life rather than no life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But, and then there's the argument, like, well, what if your kid was going to cure cancer?
I love when people say that.
I'm like, well, my kid would not be that intellectually smart.
My kid's not going to be like that. My kid might be halfway decent at sports and pretty funny. Like, that's that's what I'll create.
Yeah, I'm not creating, like, the cure of cancer.
Yeah, you think I'm going to push science on my child? Hey, kiddo, I bought you a telescope. I don't know how to set it up, though, so.
Some smart guy once told me once it was about mountains and stuff.
Yeah. You know there's no thunderstorms in Vancouver? I can't fucking tell you why. Maybe you want to look that up. It's probably on the internet. You could probably, and I don't even know how to, like, if I Google the thing and it doesn't immediately come up, I don't know how to find things.
You know how to search on the internet?
Well, I know exactly how to search on the internet, but if it's not, like, the first.
It just ends up in porn eventually.
Yeah. Well, if it's not one of the first things and it doesn't answer me right away, I'm like, internet's stupid.
Like, this internet's hard.
People were like, I read and I do research on the internet, and I'm like, what do you mean, like Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Like, I am, when it boils right down to it, I'm pretty dumb.
You were a jock in high school, right? I'm sure.
No?
No,
okay, so I might define jock differently than somebody else would. Yes, I played all the sports.
Yeah.
But I also did, like, Drama Fest and,
I knew jocks that were still artsy.
Yeah, but I think a jock is just somebody who's like, I do sports and that's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be a jock if you're also, like,
you're a well-rounded artistic jock.
Yeah, well, like, I hung out with everybody. I wasn't, like, a jock bully. I didn't live the jock lifestyle. And I also, like, I loved art.
What is the jock lifestyle? Like, I never thought of all jocks as being bullies or anything. I just thought they were on the sports teams. And
yeah, I think it depends on how you define a jock. Because I think of jocks as guys I knew who were just, like, sports is everything. Sometimes I beat up nerds. Chicks, chicks, chicks.
Whereas did you ever own a Jock Rocks CD?
Jock jams?
Yeah, jock jams.
Yeah,
okay,
but...
Okay, then you were a jock.
However, I only owned one, I think it was like Jock Jams 5 or something, because it had that Venga Boys song on it, and I thought that song was hilarious. I bought it for a sketch in drama class that we were doing.
Which was, with the Venga Boys are
jumping. Yeah, that's
jumping,
the one.
And everybody's jumping.
Yeah, so I was like, I was in Drama Fest the same year I captained a football and rugby team. So yeah. I was like, I don't know if you can call me a jock.
What would you classify? Because I guess I might have been in that same, like, I played sports and I did theater.
Yeah, so I don't think you're, like, I think.
I was not a jock.
I didn't identify as a jock.
Were you, like, popular? Like, were you with the popular people? Because I was definitely not popular, but I hung out with popular people because they thought it was funny.
I had a bunch of different crowds. I was pretty, I was popular in the sense that I was friends with everyone.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like, I didn't just have one group. Like, my close buddies, like, that I grew up with were, like, all stoners, and that was like my main group. But then I had like, you know, people who were on student council and captains of their respective sports teams and stuff. So yeah, I had a pretty neutral.
You're just all well-rounded.
And then I had like the drama fest, like artsy friends too. Like I was all over the map.
Did you like high school? Because I know so many comics are like, I hated high school. It was the worst time of my life. I had a great time in high school. Like I wasn't like, I was a fat girl in high school. So I was like the funny fat girl, right? Like I wasn't like, nobody dated me, but I got invited to the cool parties because I could chug a 2-6 of vodka. And
well, yeah, you
hilarious.
Were fun and funny.
I was fun and funny.
Yeah. Like I loved high school in the sense that I had a bunch of fun and I, chased girls and played sports and stuff, but I also like couldn't wait to be done high school.
Yeah,
I couldn't wait to just be off somewhere on my own.
Well, that's normal to like, because high school basically signifies I'm a grown up. It kind of does, because by the time you're done high school, you're usually about 18.
Yeah, you start you can thinking vote. You're a grown up. Definitely not a grown up.
I wasn't a grown up until like maybe last year.
Yeah, it's only
like, honestly.
Like when I bought a house, I was like, okay,
you bought a house
yeah.
in Toronto?
Yeah, I know. I'm such an idiot.
What the fuck? How did you afford that?
I don't only do comedy. That's how.
Oh, what else do you do? I don't know you well enough, Rob. Let's get to know you.
Let's get to know each other. I work. I'm a gas inspector during the day.
Oh, like you go and you.
Yeah.
Sniff gas.
Yeah, I go sniff gas, and I'm like, all right, this shit's good.
That must pay well.
It pays fine. It's. I don't know.
Can you tell the difference gases? Apart? Are there different gases?
No, I oversee the installation of natural gas lines to residences.
Oh.
Right, like, you know, when you turn on your gas stove or your, like, I make sure that's, your house isn't going to blow up.
Oh, cool. I have a gas stove. That's good to know that people like you are doing that for
right?
us.
it's a very,
How did you get into the gas business?
Nepotism, like everything else. that's the only way anybody gets into any sort of good paying job sort of thing. But I don't know. They're good to me, so I'm...
I don't know any comedians that own a house in Toronto.
Hempstead just bought a house.
Yeah, he does. But he has lots of... What does he do other than...
Just comedy.
He doesn't do just comedy and bought a house.
Yeah, well, he does...
writing?
He does, like, voice and stuff and...
Maybe
Patterson, Steve Patterson, I think.
Well, yeah, but Steve Patterson is like, I mean, like in our group, most of the guys that I know are still living in a bachelor apartment in Toronto.
Sure, yeah.
And the girls, you know, like.
Yeah, I'm in a relationship, and so I have like we earn together.
Okay, good.
And we bought a condo 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and then like. Grew out of the condo because it was either we're moving out of this one bedroom condo or one of us is gonna get murdered and I like my odds, I'm bigger than her. so we bought a place at Lansdowne and Bloor.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
you're a homeowner in Toronto, one of the cities that just shot up to $1 million homes.
Yeah, we beat that.
Lucky duck. I've played the real estate game and completely lost. I own a condo with my mom in Edmonton, and we bought it in 2007 at the peak of the market, and it's still not worth what we paid for it.
Ugh.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but you're still in?
I'm still in. We still have it.
Yeah,
it's sitting there.
Long haul.
Near the new arena. It's basically my RSP because my real RSPs have $38 in them.
Yeah, well, I had to tap mine to pay for the house.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's still incredible that you had enough RSPs that you had to tap into them to buy.
Yeah, well,
house.
And this
I'm very jealous of you right now. If you cannot hear the disdain,
I wouldn't
voice.
Be. If you saw like the number that I owe, you'd be like, oh, I don't wish I had that on my head.
Yeah.
But I again, this goes back to somebody smarter than me helping me. I'm smart enough to know that I like need help with things. And I'm dumb enough to not know how to do them without help. I'm right in that sort of area. I'm smart enough to be socially aware.
Yeah.
Which makes me hate everyone. But I had a buddy because I was like, I make this much and I don't need this much. Well, how do I do better with this stuff?
Yeah.
And he just like sat me down and like put money here, here, and here. And he's like, this is why you do that. I can't explain it.
No, I know.
I don't know how, but it's like in like a year, I had saved so much money. And I was like, oh my God, now I understand how like smart people make money.
Yeah, like that's the thing, is that it is like, it isn't hard. You just have to start. I remember when I was like 22 and I went into a bank and I was like, I want to start putting away for RSPs. And the guy's like, you're so smart because the time you're 40, you're going to have this much money. And now, of course, I've spent them all.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but if you spent it, like, you spent it on the house, right?
No, I spent it on stupid things, like moving to Toronto to do comedy.
Oh, God, this is dumb.
None of it was a good investment. I think that if there's somebody out there listening to this that lives in Canada or the U.S. and is a financial planner, go find comedians and sit there and talk to them and help us sort our shit out.
Go help all these idiots.
Yeah.
So it's the easiest thing to do is if you have a regular paycheck, so not comedians, but take a little bit off of it.
Well, that's what even they said to me about, because we don't get taxes taken off, and I've been I'm in tax issues right now.
A lot of comics that happens
too. Yeah, because, but I'm like, the thing is, like, I don't understand, because I literally, like, in honesty here, I've never made more than $20,000 a year on comedy.
Really?
On paper.
On, okay.
You know, but it just, like, and, but really, like, maybe I've made a little bit more than that, but not really. Like, I do not ever have any money after I pay my rent and my bills.
That wasn't a judgment of me, by the way.
No.
That was a surprise of me.
But I don't do corporates, and I don't, but I mean, now it's getting better. Like,
you work all the time. You're funny, so you should.
But I work for people that don't pay us very well.
Yeah, okay. And I'm having the words come out of my mouth, I'm like, you're an idiot, you know? Sucks.
And the thing is, like, too, is, like, they don't pay for my travel usually all the time. Sometimes I'll get flights.
Especially out here.
Not. They don't pay. I don't get. My last time out in Toronto was the first time I've ever had clubs pay for me to come out there. And it was actually, they just got the Edmonton Club to pay to fly me out, because they put me in Edmonton before Toronto.
Okay.
But honestly, and I know it's shocking to people. It's shocking to my mother. Like, I remember the first year I did comedy, I was selling advertising, and I think I was making $80,000 to $90,000 a year, full commission. And we went in to get our taxes done, and I went from that to $7,000 income that they saw, and like the guy was just like, ah. What happened here? Like, what you... And I was like, oh, I decided to start following my dreams. So, like, I don't... And the thing is, I'm not...
How old were you, though?
When I started, quit comp to do comedy full-time and waitress, because I wasn't just full-time comedy. I was probably about 28, 29.
Okay.
I started when I was 24.
Okay.
And I had the full-time job. I started...
There's this... A woman that messaged me, and bless her, she's a very sweet person, but she was like a manager of a bank, so making good money.
Yeah.
And and she was like mid to late 40s,
uh-huh,
and was just starting out at comedy and quit her job at the bank to fall. And I'm like, you can keep that job for years.
Yeah, you can.
Like, I'm 10 years in, I still have a full-time job, and it means I'm tired a lot, but I make it work.
Yeah.
And I would only leave my full-time job if comedy made me leave it.
When I started and I met Mike Wilmot, when he came out to Edmonton to headline, that's the thing that he said to me that stuck out the most was, don't quit your day job until you have to quit your day job.
Yeah.
He's like, quit. He's like, my day job forced me to quit my day job because I was asking for too much time off. But he's like, if you can make it work, keep that day job. It does. Like, so now I do like coffee shop jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it would be so great to have like a 5-year job where they're like, we love you and we're going to support you. And here's $80,000 a year. And
but how many comics do you know that have this elitist approach to not having a day job? You're like, I'm just a comic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you ate Pizza Pop's 7 meals this week. Like, that's.
And this one comic, she's adorable, but she kept on saying, like, you pay your rent with comedy? I'm like, yeah, I pay my rent with comedy. But, like, that's it. Like, don't get us, like, I'm not living a high life here. Like, I'm just getting by.
Yeah, like, I could live off of comedy.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't live well.
And the fall and winter is better. Summer is not good.
Summer's brutal.
Summer's
most comics
really
who do
rough.
That live off of it and who are like legit pro comics who work a lot, they still struggle their way through the summer.
Yeah. Summer is painful. Summer can be really, really bad. But yeah, so it's just like, and then you see these comics, two, three, and I quit my day job. Why? Like, and then you think, oh, I'm going to stay because I want to devote more time to writing and stuff. I'm like, you know what you're going to do? Yeah. You're going to wake up at 11. You're going to jerk off six times.
Yeah.
You're going to watch some Netflix. And
well,
you're not going to write anything.
Well, my job starts super early.
Yeah.
And I end pretty early. And sometimes I get off earlier than others. And I'll be home before some comics are getting out of bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, right. I can't have a day job and do comedy, right?
Yeah. And also, like, I find that when I had a day job, I worked harder at comedy because I wanted to get good enough to get rid of that day
sure,
job.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's a constant motivation. It's like, I hate waking up at 5:30.
Yeah.
Let's work harder at this thing.
And I don't know if, like, most people think that they're the only person in the world that it's hard on because... But I...
Of course.
Like, literally, when I moved to Toronto, I got a job at Starbucks. And I worked at Starbucks full-time and did comedy. Basically, I woke up at 5 every morning, went to work till 1, came home and slept for a couple hours, got up, went did the open mics till 1 or 2, went home, slept for 2 hours.
Sure.
It was like... I was like 20... How old was I when I was like 20... 28, 29.
Yeah.
And that was like...
Well, and then you start feeling
hard.
Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like oddly isolated.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't have, like, my social life would be shows and then the rest is work. And it's just like, there's this like gap in between like mm-hmm. work and work where I'm like, should I sleep? Should I do something productive? Haven't I done enough productive? And then I don't want to say like I feel alone, but I feel like detached from both things. So I'm like somewhere in this like no man's land of not knowing what the hell I'm doing. But I've been doing it for 5 years now. So
and it's paid off because you are a working comedian that owns a house, which is, I don't even think a lot of adults will ever own a house in their lifetime anymore. The way that, if you're in Vancouver, it would be impossible.
I think we just snuck in.
You got lucky.
And got lucky.
Yeah.
And that's such a relative term because, again, like you see what our debt is now towards this house.
Yeah.
But we're in and we can make the payments and
I've been
renovating for 2 months straight. So I've been coming home from work, working till midnight on the house.
Oh,
and
my God.
And then going back to work.
Oh, like, my Lord.
We're almost done. I still got to tile my bathroom shower.
Yeah.
And then...
Are you doing this all yourself?
Well, I was a carpenter for 12 years before this thing. So,
You got all the skills.
I have the skills.
And then Rob Pugh is going to move into your basement.
Yes. Well, we jokingly, so we have a spare room and we've jokingly been calling it Pugh's room.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
That's the good thing about like now that I have like more spaces that I can have friends come and stay with me because before I was like in a house with 8 people and I had my one room.
Yeah.
Like my mom could come visit me.
We're adult professional comics now.
I know. I never thought that would ever happen to me.
Yeah.
I just recently have started becoming very like adultish, like as in I don't want to go out.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Me to like a bar is almost impossible now.
Yeah.
And it's just like I'll drink at a friend's house or my house.
That's the best way to do it.
Sure.
And I think it's because you have like a nicer space to drink in now.
Yeah.
And you're not.
I'm not drinking in my bachelor apartment with 6 other people sitting on my bed. Isn't this fun? Isn't this the life?
I miss the first part of comedy when you are out every single night with this new group of people and you're so excited about it. Like, that's why I go out and do spots and stuff just to see the new people be excited about things.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't excite me.
And now you're just battle hardened and you're like, I don't need to see these fresh faced assholes.
Angry headliner in the corner. And we're like, you little fucking punks.
You don't know what I've been through.
Yeah, I don't want to be that person. So that's why I try to. But it is hard to keep up with, like, the. When did you start feeling like not the new comic anymore?
I don't know. I still feel like I am new relative to certain people. Like,
well, how long have you been doing it?
It'll be 10 years in September.
Yeah, so like I'm at 12.
Yeah.
It's like...
I don't know. Like, obviously, like, you see open micers Or like people who are brand new, and you're like, oh, they're new. But then there's, you know, the Wilmots of the world, yeah, where you're just like, oh, I'm new to him. So
yeah, yeah, you're still a punk kid to him.
Sure, it's all relative. And I feel like it's only been recently that people are starting to know my name. Like,
yeah.
Even out here, like, people are like, oh, I've heard of you. And I'm like, how the fuck have you heard of me?
Well, you're in that little crew of dudes. The Pew, the Hempstead, the Velt, the Velour tracksuit wearing,
yeah,
crew.
Yeah, yeah. We're,
Who started that whole thing? Can you explain?
You're talking to them.
You started it?
Yeah. So, for my, I want to say my 30th birthday, two of my best friends, non-comedy related, they bought me one for my birthday.
Yeah.
And it says Old Bebsy on it, and the eye is, dotted with a rhinestone, and then it says I across the ass. And then so I loved it, and then I got a package one day. This is a few years ago now. I got a package in the mail one day, and I opened it up, and it was another sweatcito. But it wasn't my birthday.
Wait, I love that it's called a sweatcito.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm starting to remember the name of it, but sweatcito is, yeah, amazing.
Sweatcito.com. I'm not sponsored by them, but go check
you
it out.
You should be.
I know. They owe me so much.
Yeah, they do.
So I'm like looking at it, and I'm like, it only has my name on it. I'm like, who the fuck sent me this? And then I looked at my credit card statement. Apparently, I bought it hammered. So that's the purple one that everyone sees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because the other one doesn't really fit as well as it should.
You've bulked up, but not like you're not. You just got manly.
I keep growing outwards, yeah, but evenly outward.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, yeah, so I just, like, I wore it to Jeff Paul's cottage enough times that people were like, fuck, I want one of those. I want one of those.
Yeah.
And then finally, Kira and I decided we would surprise Jeff for his birthday by buying him one. And then I was like, well, look, a bunch of people want them. If we buy them in bulk, we'll get a better deal.
Yeah.
So I knew K-Trev wanted one, and I knew Christoph wanted one. And then we started asking around, and then we ended up getting this massive order.
How many did you order?
There's the picture that tells you how many we have. So Pew, Kira got one, Jeff Hunter, Jeff Elliott, and then we got one for Jarrett and Ian.
Oh my god! And Hempstead
and Christoph. Well, Hempstead's was separate too.
Oh my god!
So I think we got 8.
What kind of a discount do you get with 8 sweatsitos?
We didn't get them all at once because Pew's came separate, and then Jarrett's and Ian's came separate, and then Hempstead. So we showed up at the Winnipeg Festival with them.
Yeah.
So I fly in mine because it's so comfortable. So I walk into the hotel, and Pew sees me in it, and he's like, well, I got to get mine on. So he got his on, and then we went to meet Hempstead for a drink, and the absolute jealousy on Dave's face was so thick. Like, he immediately was just like, well, I need one now.
Yeah.
So we went back to the hotel, and Dave express ordered one to the hotel at the Winnipeg Festival for the next morning.
He got one for the next morning.
Yeah.
How much did that cost him? That's going to be something ridiculous.
Between
express ordering a sweatsito cannot be cheap. To Canada?
Yeah, it was. Well, fuck it. Sorry, Dave, but it was. He paid like $320 for
oh
it.
Oh my god, that's amazing! And he has a child.
Yeah,
that's how many diapers, David.
But, so they're like, to get them express shipped, it's like almost $100.
Yeah.
And then the sweatsito itself was like $150, and then to get it like
embroidered,
customized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It costs a little bit more.
I can't help but think that you guys were inspired by Christina Walkinshaw and myself because were you at the Cottage Country Festival that year? That was I came with Walkinshaw. You were there that year, weren't you? Or no, maybe that was the other time when we were all in that motel together.
We did the roast together.
So then, yeah, you were at the Christina because Christina Walkinshaw and I when we got into our because we shared a room at the Marriott at that nice like resort that they put everybody up in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got in and they had robes and we're like, robes. So they had a meet and greet, like all the comics get together and Christina Walkinshaw and I wore our robes there.
But that's a separate one.
But yeah, were you at that one?
No.
Somebody
I did
sauce.
The one we did the roast.
I just like to think that Waukesha and I.
It was definitely because of you guys.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But now I'm just trying to figure out what. No, because the Marriott's the like spring one.
Yeah, and then
and
they're...
that's the
oh,
one.
Oh yeah.
And then we did the one that's in the like right now. It's next week, I think, or this week or next.
Yeah,
week.
That's in the town. Yeah. And Dave Martin locked himself out of his hotel room.
Yeah.
Were you at that one?
Yeah, yeah. When he tried to fight Tom.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible decision for Dave, because Tom is a meathead with cement blocks for fucking hands.
Oh, memories. Memories living on. I always say that I don't miss Toronto, but I do miss parts of Toronto.
Sure. Well, if you find a good group of people to be around, then you'll miss any place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I loved some parts of the Toronto scene, but I also hated a lot of parts of it. And I hated Toronto weather.
People tell me the Toronto scene is very cliquey.
I don't know if it's cliquey. It's a lot more mean.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know, because it's really the only scene. I know I come out here, but I find that I'm nice to people who come visit Toronto.
Yeah.
So I just assume I'm getting that reciprocation when I'm out here or east or
Let me explain
Edmonton.
Why I felt it was mean. When I first moved there, I was pretty nobody-ish. Like, I hadn't gotten any credits. I hadn't done anything in any of the festivals. I was just nice, fun Kathleen. And then when I moved out there, that's when I first won the Russell Peters contest. And then after that, I got Just for Laughs. And I started to notice that people that were super nice to me when I moved there started not being nice to me, or I started hearing that they were saying shit about me. And I'm just like, it got to be that I turned angry because of it. And I was just like, I'm just trying to get better. And it's so competitive out there.
It's very competitive. And I try to stay, obviously, friends talk, like tight circles talk. But I try and stay away from all of the drama.
Yeah, and that's the best part. Because what I started doing was getting involved in the drama. And then I started shit-talking other people and it would get back to them. And then it was this vicious circle. And I was just this angry, stressed person when I lived there.
Yeah.
Probably because I was working a lot and doing comedy too. But...
And it is a very, I defend Toronto a lot because people all over the country should talk Toronto about being a very cold and impersonal city.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. It's a very friendly city as a whole, but it is a very hustle city. Like,
yeah, you do have to be prepared to work.
Everyone's in a hurry. People seem to be shorter because they feel like they have less time. I remember when I came out to work here. And I wasn't doing comedy. I could say to my boss at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday that I wouldn't be in on Wednesday, and he'd be like, "Okay,
yeah,
cool."
It
is very much more chilled out here.
It is chill. It's just like, even when I went to LA, and I was like, "I wonder if it's gonna be mean in LA," and I didn't find it to be mean in LA at all. I found it to be supportive, and like, you'd be like, "I really want to write a screenplay," and somebody would be like, "I want to do. Let's do it together!" Like immediately.
Yeah.
In Toronto, you'd be like, "I want to do this." Like, so do I, but I'm not gonna tell you my idea because what if you steal it? Like, it's that kind of. It was that kind of mentality in Toronto that I ran into.
I find organizing anybody to like work on something as a collective, if it's like herding cats,
you can't do it. But in LA. I met two guys. We wrote a pilot for a TV show. I'd never done anything like that before. I'm not saying it was good, but at least it was. I had started to learn how to do stuff because I think that they have that mentality down there, which is what Canadians now need to start having, is that if one of us makes it, it's good for all of us.
Well, I've always talked about the fact that you and I alone know an insane wealth of talent.
Yeah.
Herding that talent again is like herding cats, but if you could just find a right group of like 5 or 6 people that work together.
Yeah.
The Broken Lizard guys, I think they're hilarious.
Yeah.
And they've made a couple of really successful movies, a couple of movies I still find funny that didn't do as well as they should, but there is no way that I can't find 5 guys just as, if not more talented than those guys.
But why is it that it's always sketch and improv people that can do it, but stand-ups, I know why it is.
Because
a stand-up is a solitary, isolated, business.
Well, I was in a sketch group and I left the sketch world because, you don't have to rely on other people for stand-up.
Yeah,
like,
it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to show up to the gig. But, I know I'm going to work.
But the Trailer Park Boys and the Letterkenny and the Baroness Von Sketch, none of them are stand-ups.
Yeah.
Except, like, I mean, Kay Trevor is a stand-up, but he wasn't part of the creation of Letterkenny.
No.
He was cast.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird, I don't know, it's just so frustrating with stand-ups that we're so self-involved.
Well, it's because, like, especially now, like, you want to get say you want to get four of your stand-up friends together to write something.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, when can we meet up? Well, I can't do this day because I have a show this day. I'm on tour. And it's like, that's the hardest part of
it.
So you almost need, and it's like, nobody wants to drop their thing until your thing is worth something.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so if I write this whole thing, can we, like, get together to edit it? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then, like, one person shows up to edit it.
Yeah.
So I wrote, like, I write all the time. I have multiple pilots, like, written. I have, virtually a whole season of a show written.
I have mostly just ideas.
Yeah, well, I start writing them alone because I
do. You have to.
Yeah. And then I've had one that I've passed around a bunch of other writers, and they've given me really good feedback about it. But, yeah, it's just like, okay, like, I need help now. Like,
yeah.
I've done the thing. I can't do the next thing. I need
someone to help. But stand-ups are inherently lazy. We sure. are.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
let's
yeah.
be honest. We're lazy, self-involved people.
Yep.
So you're right. Like, a lot of them don't want to get involved until they know, okay, well, this is for sure getting filmed.
Yeah.
Or this and that. Like, this is something that's actually going to happen. And nowadays, it seems that the best way to get your own TV show is to make it first on your own. Throw it online.
Yeah.
And then get an audience. That's what all the, because guess who's lazy now? The networks are lazy. They don't want to have to put.
Yeah. I spoke with a network years ago, and I won't say with who, and but my response was, this is really funny, but nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
So go make this famous and on your own, and we'll buy it. And I was just like, well,
nobody knew who the workaholic guys were.
Sure.
That's the mentality of Canadian.
Well, it's because it's a budget thing, right?
I get it.
If an American makes a show and it sucks, their career might not be over.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody greenlights a show in Canada and it tanks, the money's gone. Your career might be over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, nobody wants, is willing to, or wants to take a chance on anything.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it does. I think we just talked about this with Zed Lacker a couple of podcasts ago, how it's like their entire job rests on giving a green light to one thing.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of scary. I got to pause this because I think we might run out of batteries. Just give me 1 second. So now the only problem is I don't have any batteries, but that's because I don't have a battery vibrator anymore. I have a rechargeable one.
Oh.
So I don't need to.
You've evolved in one way, and it's caused you problems in another.
And I did have a cord for this thing, but I've lost two. You know the little plug-in thing that you can plug into the wall?
Oh, yeah.
I've lost it twice.
Yeah, I've run mine on batteries, but I never run mine, so batteries are good. Or
you
bad,
have,
I don't know.
You guys need to do a podcast. You know Kelly Taylor?
Yes.
I did a podcast with Kelly Taylor, and I was like, why don't you have your own podcast? And
That guy's the best.
He is the best.
Yeah. Like, I've only met him. I met him once, and it was at the Cottage Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we hung out and got really drunk and had the best time, and I was like, I love this guy.
Nicest guy. Funniest guy.
So funny.
Like, naturally funny. Like, so funny that you're just like, you get annoyed that he's so funny that you're not as funny as him. But he's just like,
he has a joke about fitting a folded sheet that my girlfriend saw 5 or 6 years ago and still talks about now.
I remember, see, he was like becoming big when I first started in Edmonton. He's always lived in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, to his detriment that he's lived out there, that do you think he would be more successful or on TV or something? He's had auditions in the States, I know, but they said his Canadian accent was too thick.
It is pretty thick. he's very Canadian.
He needs his own reality show. You know what his life is like.
Oh, yeah.
I had him on this podcast probably about 10 episodes ago, and we taped at his house, and I've never been around more chaos in my life. It's like just kids, like, literally pulling canoes into the yard. Like, that's something that happened.
That's
his kid came over and flashed me. Like, it was the funniest. He is just like, that man needs a reality show. Oh, that's just somebody's clothing line.
Yeah,
they're not killing a mouse or anything.
That's good. That's good. It's
not anyway. We were talking about Canadian television and getting on Canadian television. Do you think that it's going to start changing soon, that our country producers are going to start looking at us, or do you think it's just going to be like you have to go make it somewhere else before they'll notice you forever?
I think you mentioned Letterkenny, but I think just the fact that there's Netflix, there's Amazon.
But Netflix is now $20 billion in debt, or... Like when
for real?
I saw this.
I heard they took out massive loans to try and... I think they tried to pull like a power move and just like...
And failed.
Yeah, I think they tried to like wipe out the competition.
Oh,
but it was
so
a
stupid.
Yeah, it was a dumb... It was a greedy move.
That's when any company goes bad, is when they think that they can wipe out the competition.
Because like there's no problem. There's no reason why... Like I have a Netflix account and mm-hmm. I have a Crave account and I'm an adult, so I pay for them now.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why they can't coexist. They're not expensive enough.
And they're different.
And like, they're different. They have different programming.
Crave is just TV and documentaries.
They have movies now on Crave.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll go check my Crave account.
Yeah. They've got like... they have all the Bond movies.
Oh, those movies. Like then, collections.
Yeah. And then they have... They have like all the HBO films. And then somebody told me they're trying to like... start original content movies as well, too.
Yeah.
But the point is there's no reason why they can't coexist.
Yeah.
And, like, you think of what you would pay for a cable bill and paying $20 a month for both of those.
I honestly
accounts.
Have no problem paying $20 for Netflix. I really think that, like, if they're in that much trouble, I don't want to see Netflix die because I like the service.
It won't. It won't go anywhere. Somebody
but
will.
When I saw that, if they're $20 billion in debt, I'm like, well, they're never going to give Canadian stand-up specials. It's not. Because remember, like, I don't know if you know that Robbie Prah went over. Was it Robbie that went over to Netflix? And he's now working there. So all these Canadians got excited and they thought, oh, he knows Canadian comics. We're going to start getting specials. No.
No. As far as I know, there's just Deb and Pete. That have them.
Yeah. And Catherine Ryan, but she's like been living in the UK forever.
Yeah, I don't know her. I never have.
Yeah, she moved away when I just moved to Toronto. She moved to London. She's killing it. She's yeah. Like, have you seen her special?
I'm so guilty of seeing no one's.
I don't watch them
ever.
Either, but I made a point of watching it because Amy Schumer's special came out and her special came out and her special is so good.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's her first special, so there's a difference. Like, it's all your really A material.
Sure.
And Amy Schumer's special was rushed, and she definitely did it just for money because it was not as good as it could have been.
I feel the same way about Schumer as I do about Anthony Jeselnik, and it's I love watching 7-minute sets of them.
But not a whole hour.
Yeah, because it's all misdirection,
yeah.
And it's patterned, and I get bored of it.
Yeah.
Like and this is because I'm a comic, and I understand why the general public would continue to enjoy
yeah.
a set like that. But I'm like, okay, I got it. And it's always like, did-did-did, did-did-did, whoop, over here, did-did-did, did-did-did, whoop. And I'm like, yeah, I get your formula. It's
yeah.
fucking boring me now. I those two comics to me are interchangeable. They're the same.
They dated.
Yeah, I heard that,
for
and I
while.
Thought that before I knew they dated and some. Yeah. And I they're the same comic to me.
There's so many rumors that he wrote a lot of jokes for her. And,
of course, there's
but there's never been a rumor that she wrote any jokes for him.
Of course
I love
not,
it
because how could that possibly ever happen?
I mean, I think his voice was stronger. Like, I think you can notice that she kind of picks up on what he was doing at when they started dating. Like, you can.
Yeah.
They were dating when I met her at Just for Laughs.
Yeah,
she
that,
was
I
on
mean,
that show.
That happens.
That happens like when you become friends with a comic
sure.
that you're close to and you watch all the time.
Yeah.
Like you do pick up their little.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but I see it all the time.
Name names. No.
I will say the two most emulated comics I know.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Mirage,
yeah.
Everybody emulates him when they see him.
Yeah.
And Sarah Hennessy.
Oh, really?
Everyone emulates Sarah Hennessy.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her too often. When I lived in Toronto, she wasn't as much in the stand-up scene as she was in sketch and improv.
Yeah, and there's people who do her that you would now think, oh, it's them. And you're like, no, that came from Hennessy, but it's been so long
Wow.
now.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody in Vancouver that people Like, I mean, Ivan Decker has been around here forever, so I think a lot of the guys try, like, well, they try to be as smart and funny as Ivan, but...
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, try and emulate somebody with, like, a persona as opposed to just a brilliant writer and funny dude. Not saying he doesn't have a persona.
No, but he's just himself.
Yeah.
He's just Ivan. And you can't copy that. It's the same as...
Well, you can't copy genius. It's like, let's be like, oh, I'm going to go, I'm going to... just go be Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
Is that why you don't watch a lot of specials? Because that's why I don't watch a lot of specials. Because I don't want to start sounding like somebody else.
I don't watch a lot of specials just because, like, I've never been, like, a student of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of other people are. Like, I have friends who are not comedians who
that know,
like,
everything about comedy. Yeah, yeah,
and
me too.
I'm like, I've never even heard of that person.
Yeah, me too.
And I, like, I end up watching stuff because I have to, because everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, okay, I'll go write it. And usually if somebody's special's on, I'm enjoying it, because if they have a special, most of the time it means they're really good. But I just don't. Like, when I open Netflix, I'm not like, I gotta go watch some comedy. I'm like, I'll watch this. And then usually it's like a drag to watch comedy.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I
then
watch
I start
Forensic
watching.
Files. That's all I watch.
Yeah, you know, the good stuff.
I just want to watch and see. And I would like to get murdered at some point just so I can... Because I feel like maybe it'd be fun. I want to be part of this.
You want to be murdered so you're part of the investigation?
I just want to be the subject of a podcast.
Okay. I don't think that's how it works entirely, but...
I do, like, always think that someone's going to murder me now, because I've been watching way too many Forensics Files.
Maybe you should watch.
Maybe I should lay off of the murder stuff. For but I'm alert at all times.
That's good. That's good.
That's something that I have. I think that when Louis C.K. came out and started saying that he was a comic that wanted to be like Carlin, where you write a new hour every year.
Yeah.
Then so many comics were like, me too, me too. But they weren't at that skill level. Like, I met guys that were 2 years into comedy that I was like, how can we ever tell that joke anymore? Oh, you're retired. You retired a joke and you're 2 years into comedy?
Yeah.
I still tell jokes that I had like... 6 years ago, but I figured out how to make him better now.
Yeah. Like, hey, why even bother with, because if somebody has that mentality, you're like, oh, you'll be irrelevant at some point.
Have you taped an album at all yet?
Twice. And twice. Both times they've been fucked up.
Yeah. Not good?
No. One time I didn't like the recording because it was a really echoey room. And I did the show with somebody else, and like all their audience got up and left for like the first 15 minutes of my show.
And they didn't know that.
Yeah, they did.
That's awful.
And so I was just mad. Like, and people were like other people at the show were like, that was really good.
Yeah.
But I can hear the anger in my voice, and I fucked up some of the jokes.
Oh, I had the same thing. Like, my first album, I wouldn't release it because I was mad at the situation that I was in, and I didn't do well.
Yeah, I mean, that's more or less what happened with my first attempt. And my second attempt, sold out this theater downtown Toronto, crushed it, couldn't have been happier with the set, and the board feed fucked up. And so you can't hear the recording. Like, you can hear me, but it's like, you can hear me from the audience feeds.
And
so it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it would never get played on radio or anything.
So
now I have to do it again. A third time. And the shitty thing is like, I had actual retired jokes that I did there the last time. And my brain that night was like, oh, I'd never have to tell that joke again.
And now you do.
And now, or I just don't record them and they die.
Yeah. Don't let your good jokes die.
I want them to.
I
detached from them.
Yeah, I guess so. That does make sense.
And I don't know if I'll be able to deliver them again with the same gusto.
Yeah.
Because I already told myself mentally, like, okay, this is the one last time.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. So, yeah, I don't have... And I think I know why you asked me this, because we were talking about new comics.
Yeah.
And their drive to get an album out inside of, like, 2 or 3 years.
Even 5 years in, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
I can't even think... about how horrible my album would be if I had my fifth year in comedy on record.
Yeah.
Like, took me two... Like, my album has been sitting on my hard drive for 2 years. I recently just got my edits into my label.
Yeah.
Like, I will finally have my album out, but it was painful to listen to.
But you also, like, you're not... gonna hate that album down the line. You're probably like, oh, it's...
I could have done better. I could have done better. Yeah, it's because you're just critical of yourself, and you should be, but...
But I see people who are, like, you know, 3 to 5 years in. I've seen people who are 2.5 years into comedy, and I'm like, I'm releasing an album. I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's out there forever, and even if your jokes are fine right now, they're gonna suck.
They're gonna suck.
You're gonna hear that in a couple years and be like, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do you ever listen to Ari Shaffir's podcasts?
The early ones?
The ones that he does.
Oh, where
he
they
plays.
Do the albums, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great, because that's so true.
The Bert Kreischer one was awesome.
It was funny, because he made so much fun of him.
Yeah. And it's just like, but you hear some of the things, and I loved that part. I actually think you might have shared it, and I
probably
watched it from you. But just hearing, like, Bert talk about some of the jokes that he didn't have an ending to.
Yeah.
So he just went to this, like, extreme place, like, oh, and then I killed him. And I was just like, oh, I see so many comics who are in this, like, oh, I'm going to release an album, and half of their jokes end with this, like, outrageous ending because you haven't thought of something funny to say yet.
And it takes forever to, like, I literally... had a joke, like, my closer for years, I don't really do it that much anymore, but for years I had that joke since I started, when my first year in comedy, I had the idea for the joke.
Yeah.
And then I tried to figure it out, it didn't work, never worked. And then I put it aside for a while, came back to it, and then I was on stage at Yuck Yucks Toronto one night, and I did the story, and then at the end I did the punchline that I use now all the time, but it just came to
it
me
clicked, yeah.
on stage, and it, like, the room exploded, and it was better than any orgasm I've ever had. It was better than getting my puppy. Like, it was the best feeling I've ever had in my life. And, like, and it took me 5 years to get there.
Yeah.
I have another joke that I've been doing for almost 2-ish years now, and it's just evolved, and I finally finished it this, like, week.
Yeah.
I finally hit it. I'm like, this is it.
Well, that's, I mean, countless big name comedians will tell you never throw away a joke because you just might not be good enough to tell it yet.
So, but if Louis C.K. is retiring jokes, that's because he's really amazing and generating material. That doesn't mean that you need to do exactly the same thing as him. You're not, that's like you saying I'm good as Louis C.K.
Yeah.
He's
a master at the top of his game.
Yeah.
He'll never be better than he is, you know, right now-ish.
Yeah.
And so many people are like, that's going to be me. I'm going to. And he's another one of those people, like, who his voice got emulated by so many. His style.
Mitch,
like,
Hedberg was the biggest one. Cause that's, I first started comedy, he had just passed away, and he was this big thing in comedy, and everybody was doing him.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing.
Yeah. When it's such a weird, like, if you're going to emulate somebody, like, emulate somebody who's not unique.
Yeah.
Like, because, right, as soon as somebody does something like Hedberg, you're like, oh, he's doing Hedberg.
Yeah.
Brian Regan, I find, is another one that comics emulate.
Yeah.
But audiences have
no
idea who he is.
Yeah.
Comics all do.
Yeah, and comedy
nerds.
There
was, fuck it, I'm saying his name, Doug Funk.
Doug Funk,
he's
a
Toronto comic, and he, I saw him at a competition years ago, and he, first of all, it was an amateur competition. He had been around for like 20-some-odd years or something. I don't know. And you're supposed to do 7 or 8 minutes. It was the stand-up and bite me competition.
Oh, I did that one, yeah.
And I went down to watch Dave
Mahesh. Yeah.
And he came out, and I'm just like, he's just doing a Brian Regan impression. And I was livid, and I did, like, I was brand new in comedy at the time, so I couldn't say anything. And I remember I was talking to one of the judges, who was a better known comic, and she was just like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know. And, but apparently, like, he just does that. And I'm like, how is this not called out?
There's so many people in the comedy world that are sneaky and are good at certain things that last because they're good at promoting, or they're good at this and that, or they're fake as fuck, and they get ahead.
Yeah.
And we just have to accept that it's going to happen, and those people will still be here, but they're not going to... The problem with those people is they want to be a comics comic, and they'll never be a comics comic.
No.
And so, if you just keep remembering, well, that person's never going to hit the goal that they really want to be doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
So...
Honestly, like, it's one of those things where you got to practice what you preach, because I'm guilty of it all the time, of being like, oh, don't care about that. And then you find yourself caring about it. Like, Getting passed over for a festival,
yeah.
Or somebody gets this and you thought you deserved it. That's never going to go away.
Never.
And you just have to worry about your act. And
yourself.
Yeah.
What I had to start telling...
What did I get?
Yeah. What I had to start telling myself was, like, nobody's on your path, Kathleen. And I still tell myself that every time I don't get a festival or everything, yeah. Every time I'm not working a weekend, I'm like...
Yeah.
And somebody else is working that I feel shouldn't be working. But yeah. I'm like, but they're on their path.
Yeah, and you need to remind yourself of that, because yeah. I'm sure you're the same as me. We get emotional. We get...
I don't know one comic that isn't emotional.
No. Some comics lie about it, pretend they're not.
Big liars, but yeah.
Yeah, like you get passed up for something, you're like, you're crushed, or sometimes you take it better than others.
Yeah.
And not just a festival, anything.
Yeah. Or oh, I was devastated when I didn't get a Comedy Now, and I knew it was the last year.
Yeah.
I was in my bed crying for 2 days.
And now
I'm just like,
phew!
Like,
yeah, thank goodness I didn't do that.
Because I was not ready, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, so my material, I would be embarrassed to have that still playing on television to this day.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been good for me.
A lot of people did that. They weren't ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, even when you see like petty squabbles on
yeah.
like the stand-up forums
yeah,
online.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, just worry about your act. Like, stop worrying about this particular group doesn't get enough stage time, and this look, the best people work.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what your background is, if you're male or female. There's nobody's telling Nikki Payne, I don't have a spot for you on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Like,
she's worked
just
her ass off.
Worry about your act.
Yeah.
Everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, do I think that there's no like gender disparity or race disparity? Of course not. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
Obviously that exists. Arguing about it on the internet,
it's not going to do you any
way
good.
Less productive than just writing a better joke.
And the thing that I need to realize, and everybody on Facebook and stuff needs to realize, is that everybody sees that. The bookers at Just for Laughs see that. You think that you go in and act like an asshole in one of the stand-up forums that Zoe from Just for Laughs isn't going to see that at some point and yeah. laugh at you. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you become the laughing stock, but a lot of people don't realize how many people will see what you're saying.
Yeah, you're putting it on a public forum.
And the people that... Regular people aren't going in and reading stand-up forums. It's not them. People in our industry are all reading this.
Yeah.
So everybody in the industry, if you're being a little dickhead, the headliners are watching this being like, I don't ever work with this kid.
Sure.
And
sure. Oh, there's so many people that I don't even know, and I've blacklisted.
Yeah. No, never.
Like, I'm never working with this yeah. idiot, because this is the way they conduct themselves.
Yeah.
And look, it's hard to not get pulled into the bullshit sometimes, and it's hard not to feel emotional, but just always remind yourself, worry about your act.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Zedlacker about this too. Like, what is it like being a white male comic now? Because white male comics forever had it good, but now...
Sure.
You guys are getting passed up over four other people who are just as talented as you, like a woman who's like, we're on the same level.
Yeah.
So I might get picked over you just because
I'm
a girl.
You might be better than me.
I don't know, but you know what I mean. Like, we're on the same ish level. People are looking at us.
Yeah,
together.
We can both rock rooms.
Yeah, but like, I think that a lot of white guys are being passed over for women that are just as good as them, or minorities that are just as good as them. Like, look at fucking Courtney Gilmore. She won Homegrown. She's the first woman in that entire history, although I don't know why I think there's one woman that maybe got second that won the Homegrown, and she's disabled. Like, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And hilarious.
And I'm a massive Courtney Gilmore
she's
fan.
So awesome.
I the first time I saw her was probably 2 years ago at Vapor Central.
Yeah.
And I had this, like, horrible comedian's reaction to seeing her, being like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's a fucking, you know, comic with a disability. Here comes some lame
yeah.
disability jokes.
Yeah.
And she was so funny, and I was like, oh, my God, I love this show.
And I think that's part of her charm, is that it's, like, the same. And just so you know, women face that all the time still, without disabilities. I still feel people being like, oh, here we go, a female comic. I still feel it.
Audiences, for sure.
So you guys have never felt that. Nobody's ever gone like, oh, great, another white guy.
Yeah. Here's what I have to say about being a cisgendered, straight, white male comedian.
Holy crap, I don't even...
It is the worst time in history to be a straight white male comedian, and it's still fine.
Yeah.
We're doing fine.
That's such an amazing point.
It's it's the worst it's ever been, and it's just fine.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to fucking relax. Sure. There are some people who maybe not even as talented as I am getting stuff that I'm not. That's happening. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. I'm getting work. I'm not good enough to be at fucking headlining Massey Hall by myself right now. Anyways, so why do I care? I'm going to keep working. I'm going to get better. I'll get my chance at some point.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to calm the fuck down.
I hope that lots of new comics listen to this episode because I think that there's a lot of things that are being said that they need to hear.
Save your money. Worry about your act.
Yeah, save your money. Worry about your act. Keep your day job as long as you can. Trust me, I wish I'd kept my advertising job, but another reason I left is because I moved to Toronto. So, I don't know. But, like, yeah, if you have a good job and they are cool with you doing stand-up, do not fuck that job up. Because it'll help you so much.
There's just ways to be smarter. And across the board, ego gets in the way with everything.
Yeah.
Ego is like, oh, I quit my day job because I don't need it. No, you could work harder. Ego says, oh, this person's not as good as me, but they got this.
Yeah. Like,
just work harder. Just the answer to everything is work harder.
Yeah, it's true. I wrote that on my, I don't know if you saw it, on my like little whiteboard in my office that I have. What did I say? I said, do the work, be nice, eat carbs. Because that's like... I really think that, like, if you do your work, if you are nice to people, there's a time in my career where I was getting very frustrated where I was, and I wasn't being nice to people, and they weren't being nice back to me.
Yeah.
But now I'm just, like, I'm trying to just be happy in my regular life and happy in my comedy life. So putting stress and, like, anger in it is not going to make it better.
Of course not. And, like, those people who were shitty to you back when you were starting or whenever, if... it comes around where they might need you.
Yeah.
They've shot themselves in the foot.
Oh, and I don't forget.
No, neither
no
do I.
No one ever does.
I've got a little mental checklist of people in my head
that
I'm like,
if you
ever fucking need help, get fucked.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Even people at high levels.
Yeah.
There are people, like, I mean, even Russell Peters, like, there's people that are on his shit list from years ago that treated him like garbage.
Well, and
before he became
so,
who he is. Like, I know. It's amazing.
I try to be good to everybody until somebody's shitty to me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, you made my shit list.
Yeah.
And I don't care about you now.
Yeah.
I understand people have bad days. I have bad days where I'm probably, you
know. People even have bad years. I knew a comic that was a complete prick to me forever. And then he kind of saw the light and he was rude to everybody, but he's like the coolest, nicest guy, and he even has apologized, although you can only apologize so many times.
Yeah.
I know some comics that what they do is act like assholes and apologize, and I've had apologies from multiple comics multiple times, and by the 18th apology, it's not really an apology anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you can change even if you were a shithead.
Yeah.
You just got to prove it.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes more proving than others.
There's
people who have made attempts to apologize to me, and I'm like,
But they're not genuine or sincere even.
No, I think it's like, I fucked up, and it's better if I remedy my problem with Bemenek than keep it going.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, you're dead to me, though.
Who'd ever be a dick to Bebsy?
There's been a few. Not man. To be honest with you, I think I'd like to think I'm pretty
neutral. You're Switzerland. You're neutral.
I'd like to think so.
I just remember you having a Mustang and being a cool dude.
I have a Mazda 3 now. Ooh, I grew up.
What?
Yeah, the Mustang's gone.
No.
Yeah, it was a sad day.
No, don't get. Yeah, you're Switzerland. You're totally neutral. Everyone loves you.
Well, that's nice. I did that little poll thing on the internet the other day, and it said 278 people dislike me. So
what? There's a thing. Don't tell me about that. I'm going to go look that
no,
up.
It's
my chest is getting tight right now.
It was on K-Trev's wall, and it's his said 60 people dislike him. And I was like, well, I got that beat for sure.
How do you dislike people on the internet?
I don't know. It's some algorithm that...
It's fake.
It's for sure fake, but it's
don't
hilarious.
Don't do that to people with anxiety. Ugh. I have issues when people unfollow me. I talked about this before.
I don't
kind of
know if anybody's unfollowed me because
Twitter, you can tell. Because it says they follow you or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But not on, like, Instagram or...
Yeah, I don't go on Twitter. Like, okay. I hate Twitter. And people have been, for years, been like, do Twitter. You got to do Twitter.
Twitter's a live joke book. That's what I use it for. But if you don't have a lot of followers, it is pretty boring.
Yeah.
It feels like you're tweeting into nothing.
Yeah, and I don't tweet enough to gain followers. Yeah. Like, once a month, I'll go in and just, like, slam Twitter and leave.
Yeah. slam Twitter and leave.
Like,
I love it.
Twitter's still here. Fuck Twitter. And then I'm gone.
Where can people follow you on Twitter to get you to get onto Twitter? What's your handle? You don't even know your handle?
I think it's Rob_Bebenek.
Okay, because I'm Kathleen_McGee.
Yeah, I think that's
the same middle name.
Yes.
Underscore.
That's crazy.
And you're on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. And I do. I like Instagram a little more because it's like you
pictures.
Can. Yeah, you can put a picture up or you can share a funny thing.
Yeah.
And it's not just like there's really no arguing on Instagram. I think that's why I like it.
Yeah. I mean,
it can happen.
Well, you're not a girl, so you've never had gross comments under your.
Fair. Well, I have, but.
You have?
But it's, you know.
But your friends.
Yeah.
Saying shit about you.
Sure. Or it's like.
Like, for example, I just had to block a guy on Snapchat today because he just sent me a snap of him jerking off.
Okay.
I don't even know who this guy is.
That's such a weird. I don't understand that as a male.
Most people don't.
I don't understand that mentality. But there's so much of it.
Because social media opens the world to people.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I haven't said anybody can send me snaps. I want people to send me snaps. I want people that like my comedy to interact with me.
Yeah.
But I don't think guys understand the shit that girls get on a daily basis.
No, I do because I know enough girls that have like been like, look at my inbox and I'm like, this is insane.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But it's, I just like Instagram because it's like, it's pretty basic.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be a ton of like.
It's just fun. It's the fun one of social media.
And
Snapchat.
Yeah, I don't do Snapchat.
Snapchat's fun.
I believe that. My girlfriend who hates all social media.
Is on Snapchat.
Is on Snapchat and likes it.
It's fun until some weird guy starts sending you jerk off pictures.
Yeah. And I don't know if she has a very limited profile though. So
yeah.
I don't think people can send her snaps other than people in her friend circle.
Yeah. You can do that. You can say only my friends can send me snaps. But yeah.
Did you see the one that Aaron Rodgers sent out of him and Olivia Munn on the Super Bowl last year?
No.
So I don't know. I don't know how this didn't become bigger, massive news. So Aaron Rodgers is a star quarterback in the NFL. He's the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend
is... that the Cheeseheads?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And his girlfriend is Olivia Munn, who's...
Gorgeous. Yeah.
And so Aaron Rodgers got knocked out of the... season in the NFC Championship, which is the game before the Super Bowl. He sent out a snap during the Super Bowl of Olivia Munn blowing him. She's completely naked, dick in mouth, with the caption, "The Super Bowl can suck it."
No.
And it was on his, like, so I guess you can have them public or not public.
Yeah, you put it into your story if you want everyone to see it.
Yeah, and his was on his public feed. You can look it up right now.
What?
It's people have obviously...
And she was okay with this?
My guess was I doubt it. He was sending it to, like,
a teammate
or something.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know how football bros are.
Yeah, locker room talk.
Yeah, so he was broing out and sending a picture of, which is so weird.
I would not
send that to one of my guys. I would never send a picture of my girlfriend blowing me something.
Snapchat is dangerous, though, because I have had an incident on Snapchat when I was single. Snapchat, I thought, I got it, my handle is TheTitsMcGee, because I didn't think it was like a social app. I thought it was just for sending sexts to people.
Yeah.
So I was going to send a picture of my boobs to some guy that I was into, and I sent it to another dude that I had no idea.
Oh boy.
Thank God it was just a guy and not my whole story, but I immediately got a snap back being like, and I was like, oh, that was not for you. He said, I know, but thank you. Feel free to send more. So it was funny, but I can see if you're not educated in how these things work that it can go bad.
Yeah, I mean, she's, like, she's sent out a bunch of pretty, like, she used to date Chris Evans or Chris Pine. I don't. One of the.
One
two
of the Chris's.
Yeah, one of the handsome fucking guys.
Chris's.
With no body fat. And like she made public some very dirty snaps between them or something. Not
really.
Not pictures, but like, I can't wait for you to get home and drill me in the ass or stuff like that.
Okay.
So like, I think she's a bit of a freak. So I think she was fine with the picture.
Yeah, she was like topless in Magic Mike. I think she was his girlfriend in Magic Mike. Like she's not ashamed of her body, and
no,
I don't think you should be ashamed of your body.
No. Why would, especially her? Why would you be? It's phenomenal, but. I don't know if she'd want that out there.
No.
I mean, he definitely wouldn't. Like, he's...
No.
They try to project this amazing image of perfect people in the spotlight in the NFL. And meanwhile, it's just like...
No. You're murderers. You are crazy people.
You're murderers. You're rapists. You're...
Dog. You're animal abusers.
Fucking, yeah. There's a lot of horrendous... Not all of them.
But if you take a knee during a national anthem, you'll never play again.
Don't get me started.
The battery will die soon. We don't have time to get into that shit.
And, like, I'm a diehard 49ers fan, and I was not a fan of
Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick as a player, because the whole team was a tire fire, and then he started doing that, and I was just like, well, I like him again as a person.
Yeah, as a person.
I wish he'd stop throwing interceptions, which he actually had a really good year last year, and now he won't get signed anywhere because everyone's a coward in the NFL. Owners, I mean, they don't want to touch him because, yeah. This is a whole other podcast.
Whole other sports podcast, which Kelly Taylor needs to start.
Yes.
I told him, I'm like, you need to do a sports podcast. That's what you need to do. So we're all going to harass Kelly Taylor because I don't think he started it yet.
Come on, Kelly.
Go and tweet at Tick Taylor, TIC.
You and I will come through and do
it. Yes. So, okay, because you have some exciting stuff coming up. So where can people find you to follow your career so they come see you live?
I think I'm going to be better on Instagram. So just look. I don't even know what my Instagram handle
is. Is it Old Bebsy?
I think it's Old Bebsy.
Yeah. O-L.
Underscore Bebsy.
Underscore?
I think
you'll
so.
Find it. Rob Bebenek. You'll find it. How do you spell your last name?
Bebenek.
N-E-K. I said N-A-K in my iPhone. Sorry.
Babanak.
Oh, I'm so glad that you got to come and hang out. I haven't seen you in so long. Well, I saw you in your velour suit in Winnipeg. And I feel like I don't know you as well as I should, but now I feel like I know you more.
Yeah. Now we're buds again.
Oh, I love it. And Eugene loves you.
Yeah.
Eugene did not growl and snap at him when he jumped in the car with me, which has not happened yet. So.
I'm the dog whisperer.
You are the dog whisperer. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Well, I got to the end of the road, but it-